Chapter 20. At this time, some audacious young men from the village of Dabaroth, who were guards posted in the Great Plain, had closely observed the wife of Ptolemaios, the procurator of King Agrippa and Berenike, and they laid an ambush. She was traveling through the Great Plain, from a country subject to the royal jurisdiction into that of Roman dominion. And she had with her great provision and was protected by an escort of cavalry. And indeed, these men suddenly fell upon them and compelled the women to flee, but plundered all the baggage which was being escorted. But, being unable to secretly dispose of what they had stolen, they brought all of it to me at Tarikaa, with 4 mules laden with no small quantity of expensive garments and other articles. But there were even a multitude of silver goblets and 500 pieces of gold. Now, I wanted to preserve these spoils for Ptolemaios, for even he was a compatriot. But also, because it is forbidden by our laws to rob even an enemy. Now I reprimanded the bearers for this act of violence done against the royalties, indeed declaring to them, "These things must be kept to sell in order that their proceeds may be devoted to the repair of the walls of Jerusalem." But the young men were indignant. Indeed, it was hard for them to accept that they would not be receiving their expected share of the plunder, but also because they perceived my intention beforehand to present the fruits of their labors to the royalties. So they went to the villages around Tiberias by night, saying to everyone that I intended to betray their country to the Romans. For they said that my claim about keeping what had been procured from the raid for the repair of the city walls of Jerusalem was merely a clever trick against them, but that I had decided to restore them to their owner. And yet, they did not mistake my intention. For once they had left, I sent for 2 of the principal men who were close friends of the king, Dacion and Yanai, son of Levi, who was the most powerful man of Tarikaa. I committed the plunder articles to them and directed them to return these things to their legitimate owners when an opportunity should present itself. And I threatened them with the death penalty if they sent a message to anyone regarding these matters. This action exposed me to the greatest danger. Now the plunderers also raised a great disorder in all the neighboring cities. But when the rumor had spread throughout all Galilee that I was intending to betray their country to the Romans, everyone was stirred up against me to bring retribution upon me. The young men's statements were credited even by the inhabitants of Tarikaa. The result was that at daybreak, 100,000 heavy armed soldiers gathered together. And indeed, the multitude gathered together in the hippodrome at Tarikea, making loud and angry clamors. And some cried out that the traitor should be stoned to death, but others to have him burned alive. They urged my bodyguards and heavy armed soldiers to leave me while I was asleep and come at once to the hippodrome in order to come and take counsel on the conduct of me, their general. Therefore, indeed, my friends and bodyguards, struck with astonishment at the crowd's rage, were prevailed upon. All of them fled, with the exception of four. But when the men joined the gathering, they found that a large crowd had already gathered together, who were unanimously crying out to chastise the man who was so wicked as to betray them. Now Yohanan instigated a great many, but Yeshua, son of Zephaya, was the primary instigator. At that time, he was a chief of Tiberias, a wicked man, and who had a natural disposition for disrupting serious affairs, and who was unrivaled in fomenting both sedition and revolution. And at that time, he took the law of Moses into his hands and came into the center, declaring,
"Citizens, if you're unable to hate Joseph for your own sakes, fix your eyes on your country's law, which your chief general is about to betray. For their sakes, hate the wretch and punish the insolent man."
After he had said this, the multitude applauded him. And he gathered up some of the heavy armed soldiers and hurried to the house where I was lodging, intending to do away with me. But I, being entirely unaware in advance, had, from fatigue, succumbed to sleep before the start of the riot. Now of the four bodyguards who remained with me, Simon, who had been entrusted with the protection of my body, was the only one who stayed with me the entire time. And when he saw the citizens rushing toward me, he awoke me at the moment when my enemies were about to set fire to the house, and sent out a message to me regarding the imminent danger I was in. And those four urged me to flee. But Simon entreated me,
"Die nobly by your own hand, as a general, before your enemies arrive and compel you to do so, or kill you themselves."
This was indeed how he spoke to me. But I, undaunted by the desertion or by the multitude of my opponents, committed my affairs to God and made haste to go out to the multitude. Therefore, I put on a black garment. Indeed, I rent my garment, but sprinkled dust on my head. And I hung my short sword from my neck by its ridge. Now, with my hands behind my back, I proceeded to the hippodrome by another route, on which I expected that no foe would encounter me. There, I suddenly appeared, both rushing out and falling face down, and wet the ground with my tears. At this sight, my friends, especially the Tarikeans, were all filled with pity. But those from the country and those in the vicinity who regarded me as a nuisance, reproached me. They also directed me to instantly produce the public money and confess my agreement to betray them. For they concluded, from my demeanor, that I would deny none of the suspected crimes, and instead, that I had only made this entire pitiable exhibition of myself in order to obtain pardon. But this humble appearance was merely part of my stratagem, and it was designed to make my indignant opponents dissolve into seditions against each other. So when I perceived the multitude's reversal, I endeavored to create further disagreement in their opinions before the heavy-armed soldiers returned from my house. So I promised that I would confess everything, and I admitted that, according to their view of the matter, I had indeed committed an unrighteous action. But I entreated them to first allow me to inform them for what purpose I was reserving the money obtained by the raid. Then I would die if they directed it. Then, when the multitude permitted, indeed directed me to speak, the heavy-armed soldiers appeared, and at the sight of me, they rushed forward to kill me. But the multitude directed them to hold off. They complied, expecting that I would confess having kept the money for the king, and then they would do away with me after I had confessed the betrayal. Therefore, when everyone had fallen into silence, I spoke the following to them. Men, compatriots, I indeed do not refuse to die, if that is righteous. But before I pass away, I desire to tell you the truth. I had no intention of sending this money back to Agrippa, nor of gaining it myself. For I could never consider one of your opponents to be a friend, or for my advantage to incur a disadvantage for you. Now therefore, I know, citizens of Tarikea, the lavish hospitality of this city, and that it is crowded with vast numbers of men who have left their own fatherlands in order to become common partakers of our fortune. But I saw that your city, above all the rest, needed to be secured with fortifications, and that it lacked money in order to construct a wall. But I was anxious that the populace of Tiberias and of the other cities had their eyes set on these spoils. So I decided to privately retain this money in order to use it to construct walls to encompass you. This money about which you are now so angry over, though it was to be expended on building them. If this does not meet with your approval, I am prepared to produce what was brought to me and leave it to be plundered. But if I have not taken counsel for your best interests, chastise your benefactor! Indeed, at this, the Tari Ketans, and the aliens among them, indeed applauded and expressed their gratitude, and urged me to be of good courage. But the Galileans and Tiberians still maintained their fury, reproaching and violently threatening me, so that a sedition arose among them. Now, the two parties left me alone, and instead fell to quarreling with one another. Indeed, some vilified and threatened to chastise me, but some to disregard me. Taking courage in those who were already on my side, which were the Tari Ketans, who numbered about 40,000, I proceeded to address the whole multitude more freely. And I severely reprimanded them for their rashness. But I indeed announced to them that I would use this money to enwall Tari Keta and Tiberias, and furnish similar protection for any of their other cities which needed them. For money will not be lacking if all of you will only agree on who your enemy is, against whom it is necessary to furnish this protection, and not become provoked against the man who is furnishing it. Indeed, when the majority of the deluded crowd came to trust me because of this, they returned to their own homes. However, they were still angry. So having, beyond all expectation, escaped from this danger which I have described, I returned to my house, accompanied by my friends and 20 heavy-armed soldiers.